that the work of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all intertwined. Each may have his own role to fulfill, but it is done so that God's ultimate mission might be accomplished. In creating, redeeming, and nurturing the parts of the Trinity, God works to bring about the transformation and salvation of the world. There is more to Trinity Sunday than the celebration of a difficult and mysterious doctrine. One can't help but see in the Trinity an amazing image of what the people of God might strive to be. What if we saw in one another individuals who are distinct but unified? That is to say, what if the church named itself as a collection of people with a variety of distinct gifts? Who have only one mission, and that mission being the transformation of the world into one that is unified. If we look around this Sunday morning and we look up and down the pews, we may differ from other in many ways. We've each been gifted in our own unique ways. God has entrusted us with our own set of treasures, talents, and time. Yet we use our gifts in one mission. This Sunday, being 8 weeks after Easter, is when we Christians celebrate the doctrine of the Trinity. Trinity Sunday was initiated as an affirmation of our fundamental Christian doctrine of the Trinity in the face of several contrary beliefs put forward by such as the Gnostics and Arians, whose rationalistic approach to the Trinity was to deny the oneness of the triune, threefold God, our Lord. First, some vocabulary. Wouldn't be a sermon without a lesson. The Trinity is the reference to what we otherwise would call the triune nature of God. Now, the term triune is defined in the dictionary as consisting of or being three in one. For example, in the Christian Trinity, or consisting of three members, and the dictionary says, especially the Christian Trinity. It's not an easy thing to understand. It's not as if we can say, I get it, it's an easy thing, these are the three aspects of the one Father. It's rather that the one Lord has three persons. And there's been much debate on the word person in the Greek, in the Latin, and in the English. What defines a person? We can talk about person as in personality, which is not the same as a person. But it's a manifestation of a person's uniqueness. It's confusing, and it always has been. It's mysterious, and it's supposed to be. In fact, Martin Luther devoted quite a few sermons to the idea of the Trinity. And since you can't go wrong by quoting Luther most of the time, I'd like to read an excerpt from one of Luther's sermons dated July 7, 1537. In the beginning of his gospel, the evangelist John forcefully teaches and confirms the high article of our holy Christian faith that we believe and confess that there is one true, almighty, eternal God, but that there are three distinct persons in this one divine essence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Father begets the Son from eternity, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. So there are three distinct persons, and yet only one divine essence of equal glory and majesty. The person in the middle, the Son, and not the Father or the Holy Ghost, assumed human nature. Born of the Virgin Mary, when the time of redemption was to begin, the Son of God, begotten by the Father from eternity. John first calls the Word and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking later on of his incarnation, he says, and the Word was made flesh. As St. Paul also says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. I am in the habit of offering a homely, simple illustration in order to help people to some extent to understand this begetting of the Son of God by the Eternal Father, Luther's words. It is this, as a bodily son has flesh and blood, and his being from his Father, so the Son of God, begotten by the Father, has his being and nature from the Father from eternity. But we cannot find a perfect illustration of this relation with this or any other example. The relation on earth cannot be as perfect as it is in the divine majesty, where the Father gives the Son the entire divine essence. A bodily father cannot give his son his entire being. There lies the inequality. We must believe this article. No man will grasp or comprehend it with his reason, though his reason be as wise, sharp, and acute as possible. If we could attain it by our wisdom, God would not have to reveal it from heaven or announce it to us through the Holy Scriptures. Those were Luther's writings from 1537. A little closer in time, last year, on Trinity Sunday, I told our well-traveled pastor that I thought it might be interesting to look upon the nature of the Trinity as we do on one of the most common and yet most important things in our existence, water, which we have a lot of outside today. Water is pretty important stuff because without it we wouldn't exist. I can't fail to see rain, even today when it's raining and miserable, as God's gifts falling from above. It's life. There are parts of the world that would pine for our rain. It may not be looked upon as such during certain parts of the country that are flooding, but it's still essential. Water is essential to our physical as well as our spiritual life. We have a hard time when there isn't enough of it. We're baptized with water. And the first miracle we read about is when Christ turns water to wine at the wedding in Cana. In John chapter 3, verse 5, it states, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So without beating it to death or begging the point, water is pretty important stuff. It's essential to our physical and spiritual lives, although it's a simple compound. Two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen, certain angular arrangement, and it's pretty common, making up about 70% of the planet. What I personally find curious about this simplest of things is that it shares a great commonality with the maker of all things, almost like Alpha and Omega. It exists in three states at the same time. Water exists as a solid, a liquid, and a gas at the same time. We call this the triple point of water, and it's an illustration of how three very different things can all be the same thing. Water, ice, and water vapor are all made of the same thing. They all are the same thing, yet they're different. One is hard enough to skate or walk on, slip on. One is soft enough to swim through or bathe in. And one is invisible, but it's still there. At the risk of being simplistic, I find that the comparison of water to the Trinity is a means of allowing myself to get a little bit closer to understanding what we can't understand. While we can prove the existence of water in three forms at once, we cannot scientifically prove the existence of a triune God. That's where faith comes in. And faith is our attitude that we accept purely because we believe it. And it doesn't come without doubt. Luther, in his time, did not believe that doubt was not sin. He writes extensively on the fact that to doubt is to sin and this and that and the other thing, but he also didn't live in an age of science and factual proofs. We can't help but be molded by the age we live in. We hold our faith in the face of doubts and of skeptics and of rationalists. We celebrate today that which we believe in our faith as the cornerstone of our faith, the Trinity. It's as simple to accept as it is to accept that the puddle will become a patch of ice or evaporate into a vapor. Not on the basis of reason, but on the basis of divine revelation. As Luther said, if it was easy to believe, the Lord would not have had to reveal it in the Gospels. So today, celebrating Holy Trinity is also a celebration of our faith. And that's a good thing. Last night, yesterday, as most of you know, I just thought I'd comment on the fact that the 40th president, President Reagan, died, and that we should, whether we agreed with him politically or not, he was the president at a difficult time, and we should remember him in our prayers. And today also commemorates the initiation of the liberation of Europe 60 years ago on D-Day, and it's something else that we should think about. And while the pastor is liberating Europe right now, conquering Germany, I thank you for your attention.